Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again inside the comfy, cozy office of yours truly, Chris Sheeran, for another edition of the Off the Wall podcast. It is me, myself, Chris Sheeran, and Joe Auriemma along the way once again. And wow, what a whirlwind of an NFL season. Starts with the lockout. They get back. They get their preseason games in. They start the season. Giants start 6-2. Joe Callow's going nuts. Talking about another Super Bowl like he always does. 4 weeks later, they're 6-6. And I'm basically saying to Joe, told you so. And we all know what happens the rest of the way. And, you know, Gary Myers and I talked about this ad nauseum during the parade. I still can't believe that they're Super Bowl champions. But there's a couple of points that I want to throw out there really quick, and then I'm going to have my partner in crime chime in. And I want him to sit over there and start loading his weapon of a response. He doesn't know. I told him the first where I was going first. I did not tell him what I was leading into his talking with second. You will hear it the same time he hears it. But both points come from our old friend Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who was on Sirius XM, his own channel, Mad Dog Radio. Still listen to him. Can't help it. Every once in a while, I need a little doggy.
That didn't come out right.
Especially. Oh, boy. Christopher Mad Dog Russo. But he had two things on his show this week. I never call radio shows. Never. The first thing that I'm going to mention here didn't really spur. It got me a little upset, but it didn't make me call. The second thing did. And I'll get to that. First things first. He keeps saying all week, and it's been a week-long thing since the Giants beat the Patriots. You know, calling Giant fans who beat their chest. And look, I know some Giant fans are tough to take. I do. Because a lot of them out there, you know, beating their chest, you know, we're the best team, blah, 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 blah. Because they don't recognize, you know, that there was a lot of luck in the Giants getting to where they were. Because let's face it, there was. But as I told Joe before we started doing this podcast, being good goes hand in hand with being lucky, especially when you get on a run and you win a championship. Now, Philadelphia Flyers, I'm just making a parallel here. They didn't win the Stanley Cup, but they were an 8 seed. Got into the postseason beating the Rangers the last game of the season. And went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals as an 8. Were they the best team in the NHL? No. They were the best team in the Eastern Conference through the playoffs. Who beat them? Nobody. That's what happens in sports. You get your players healthy, you get back, you get on a run. This is what can happen. But you also need bounces to go your way. And believe you me, the bounces went the Giants' way. In the San Francisco game, Ahmad Bradshaw, they said his forward progress was stopped. He gets the ball ripped out. That could have been a fumble. Heard Mike Pereira say it. Could have been a fumble. Fox's, you know, referee guru.
Who was about 0 for 121 on challenges here.
He said it could have been a fumble. And he was right. It could have been. No. That was a discretionary call by that official right there. By that side judge. He blew the whistle, played dead. If he didn't blow the whistle, San Francisco gets that ball, you know, pretty much game time. Okay?
And you look at it from a Giant fan's perspective, they could have easily, 4 years ago, blew the whistle on Eli Manning and said his cleats were in the dirt. And Mike Carey let that play go.
That play doesn't happen.
And David Tyree doesn't
pin the catch.
And the
Patriots basically win that Super Bowl.
Yep.
Fair point. In the Super Bowl, they fumble the ball three times. Three. The first one by Victor Cruz, is wiped out because of the 12 men on the field down by the goal line. Then Hakeem Nicks gets it ripped out. Who's there but Henry Hynoski trailing the play, a hustle play, true hustle play by the rookie fullback, falls on it. The last one, Ahmad Bradshaw, and that was a big one. And who's there? The son-in-law. Chris Snee covers that one up. Did the bounces go their way? Yes. You could look at it that way. They were lucky. They were also hustling. Being good and being lucky, hand in hand. Remember that. You know, it works in every sport. A play that gets in, you know, into the outfield, a little seeing-eye single can be the difference. Look at how the Yankees lost to the Diamondbacks. Mariano Rivera made a great pitch. The infield was in. Luis Gonzalez did all he could with that pitch.
Let's not forget, too, I know everybody's going to bring up in the Green Bay game the Greg Jennings, Aaron Rodgers was off on that throw. But that's not luck. That's Aaron Rodgers just not being good at that point. You know, maybe if the Green Bay Packers didn't sit their entire team in the final week of the season and then have a bye week and basically have rust all over the place, you know what? They might have actually had a chance in that game. But the Giants beat Atlanta thoroughly. They go into Green Bay, and they handed Green Bay their butts.
They beat them handily.
And you know what? They went into San Francisco, and they won that game, too.
That was a heavyweight toe-to-toe, you know, haymaker after haymaker.
Absolutely.
Eli Manning got his rear end kicked in that
defense
game.
Is just going at each other. Yep. You know, and again, Eli Manning, people are going to forget, okay, well, yeah, did they recover the first fumble on Kyle Williams? Yes, they did. But you know what? There was still a 3rd and 15 that they had to convert to get into the end zone. And Eli threw a bullet to Mario Manningham to take the lead in that game. So, you know what? People can talk about luck all they want, but the Giants did some of the work themselves.
We'll get to Eli, too, in a second. And all the nonsense that, you know, people are basically saving their radio shows with is this topic about Eli being elite or not. But here's my second point, and I want to get your natural reaction, which is why I kept this from you. But during that same segment with Dog, a caller called in.
Oh, boy. And you know how I feel about callers.
Eagle fan.
Oh.
This is word for word what he said, and I want your thoughts after I give you my thoughts. The Giants winning the Super Bowl is like an Eagles loss in the Super Bowl. That's okay. That's okay. I could deal with that. I could live with that. And he went on. I'm so sick of Eli Manning. He needs everything to be perfect and needs stars all around him to do what he does. Hold your thoughts, because I'm not done yet. The Giants stink. They were 9-7 this year. They were 10-6 the year before. I'll give them Super Bowl 21, Super Bowl 25. They were dominant teams back then. The last two Giants Super Bowl wins, their teams stunk. Here's what I would have said. I got through. I couldn't wait on hold. I hung up. Sorry, dog. But this is what I was going to say. Hey, listen. First of all, win a Super Bowl with your team. Second of all, when your quarterback was throwing up in a damn huddle in the fourth quarter, down to the Patriots, my quarterback, two-time Super Bowl MVP, was driving us to another Super Bowl championship. Think about that.
Okay.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
First and foremost, Eli Manning, I don't know what games he was watching, but this guy obviously wasn't watching the same games I was watching. Eli Manning single-handedly saved the Giants this year.
That is not a paraphrase. That is word for word what this guy said.
If Eli Manning does not have the season that he has, does not carry the team like he has, you know what? The Giants do not make the playoffs, do not even come close, and probably have only 5 or 6 wins this year. Okay, so they put stars around him. Victor Cruz wasn't even a star before the season. Guess who made him a star, Dumbo? Eli Manning. Let me ask you something. Did anybody know who Jake Ballard was before the season? No. Guess who made him better? Eli Manning. Okay?
This is why I didn't.
And let me tell you something. The Giants, in these last two Super Bowls, have beaten the greatest franchise to ever come out of the NFL. The New England Patriots, who won three Super Bowls in the early 2000s and haven't won diddly squat since and have lost two Super Bowls, including one where they were 18-0 going into the game.
And heavily
18-0, and were 12-point favorites.
Let's not forget that.
So do not, as an Eagle fan, tell me that my last two Super Bowls, let me tell you, 21 and 25 were wonderful. They were wonderful Super Bowls. I remember them. They were wonderful. The last two Super Bowls, let me tell you something. The Giants, in the position that they were in, and their that awful quarterback that you call Eli Manning, drove them down the field twice to win a Super Bowl. Let me tell you something.
Against Tom Brady.
If Terrell Owens didn't actually play in that game, it would have been a bigger blowout because that guy played with pain. Your quarterback played because he was a jerk. All he did in that game was he choked. He choked, choked, choked. And you want to talk about teams that win Super Bowls with 9-7 and 10-6 records. Okay, let's talk about this. Did you consider the Green Bay Packers a good team last year? Because guess what? They were a wild card team.
And they got in the last week.
The last week of the season. And the Giants beat the Cowboys in the last week of the season to win the division, which your dream team went 8-8.
The last two Super Bowl champions, and you brought this up just now, the Packers and the Giants. I'm sorry I raised your blood pressure, but I knew that would get you, and I knew this would make for a great podcast today because I was steaming on Wednesday when this happened. But the last two Super
Bowls. Call Norm Van Brocklin. Get him on the horn. Because that's the last champion that you had in Philadelphia.
Chuck Benarek.
Yeah.
Hello. But the last two Super Bowl champions, the Green Bay Packers, New York Giants, perfect example of what I'm talking about. They got it together at exactly the right time. And it doesn't happen all the time like this. There are teams that, you know, rule the roost from week
one.
This is the
NFL.
Win the Super Bowl.
Look. The bottom line is, when we were kids, when we were young, do you remember 15-1 teams and 14-2
losing?
Teams
no.
Losing in the playoffs?
No.
I'm sorry. The 85 Bears at 15-1, the 84 Niners at 15-1, the 14-2 Giants in 86, the you know, we don't count the Redskins, but the Niners, these teams won the Super Bowl.
When the Niners played the Broncos, you knew what the final, you knew
this
what that score was.
This is a different NFL. Mm-hmm. A 9-7 and 10-6 team is just as good as a 13-3
well,
team.
Think about it. Since 2002, three 9-7 teams have got to the Super Bowl. The Raiders, the Cardinals, and the Giants.
And the Cardinals.
That should prove
And the
to
Cardinals,
you.
Let me tell you, the Cardinals, without a Ben Roethlisberger miracle throw at the end to Santonio Holmes where he got his feet just in bounds. The Cardinals would have won that game.
You're absolutely right. It's a different NFL. And I got something else for this guy.
It's the hot teams.
I got something
else. And your team wasn't hot.
I got something else for this guy, too. If the Giants had a healthy defense all season, they're not 9-7.
No.
They're not 9-7. I'm telling you right now, they're not losing to
what,
the Redskins twice.
What other, if the Giants stink so bad, what other franchise that lost two linebackers, a starting middle linebacker, and
your cover corner,
cover corner, and still go on to win the Super Bowl? They lost all the depth in the world. They lost cornerbacks all year. They lost people on the defensive side all year. And they still won the Super Bowl.
And, you know, when this guy hung up, Dog didn't really... This is what got to me, because he didn't even say anything to him. You know, I understand that some Giant fans might be a little tough to take after a Super Bowl championship. But you know what?
That's any team.
But you know what? Not only is it any team, but you need... Coming from where the Giants came at 6-6 and 7-7 to where they ended up, the euphoria... I think, for me, is multiplied infinity because you didn't think you were going to be in that position.
Let me ask you something. Do you think Detroit Lion fans, if they won a Vince Lombardi trophy, wouldn't be unbelievably excited.
You know what? I root for Detroit because Detroit.
That's
what I'm
saying. They haven't had a Lombardi Trophy.
Well, they haven't, and the city's falling.
If the Chicago Bears, who haven't won since 1985, won a Lombardi Trophy, would they not be overexcited?
Absolutely.
Would Philadelphia Eagle fans? Would Philadelphia Eagle fans not go nuts?
There's another factor that we're not putting into play here. Okay. The other thing that Giant fans and the Giants and, you know, all these Jet fans that got on my case on Facebook, by the way, when I said, thank God for our big brothers teaching us how to win after the Giants won the NFC Championship over the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl, you know, and they knocked me down. Oh, just enjoy it. You know, you shouldn't even care about what Rex says. Justin Tuck, okay, at MetLife Stadium.
Cared enough to say
exact words, in case you missed it. Last time. We did this at Giant Stadium, and I think y'all know where I'm going with this. Now we're at MetLife, and everybody booed. He goes, no. MetLife is fine. It could be MetLife. But right now, you should have no doubt whose house this is. Every single player behind him got up and gave him a standing ovation. You don't think the players, you don't think that was just hovering over their heads all year, that big mouth? That wears green?
Painting the town green.
All the papers. Our very own Michael Kay saying the Jets are going to take over the town.
You know, this, as much as Jet fans want to say it, this will never, ever, ever be a Jets town. I'm sorry. It will. The Giants have won 4 Super Bowls, 8 NFL championships. 8. It's not going to happen. This is a Giants town.
It's just like the Yankees and the Mets. You know, it's unfortunate for the Mets. They haven't been around nearly as long enough. But when the Yankees have 27 world championships.
And you know what? The Mets had their time.
It's just the way it is.
In the mid-80s, they were back paper. It was a Met town.
It was
a Met town.
You have to win and win and win and win. Okay? When it comes to hockey, I hate to say it. It's devil's country. It is. And this is coming from a Ranger fan. Maybe not this year because the Rangers are leading the Eastern Conference, but they have to do more.
Oh, and by the way.
It's great that they're ahead, but they have to win cups. Last time they won was 94. Since then, the Devils have won not one, not two, three.
By the way, I just want to throw this at you, Ranger fan. Devils are only 7 points behind the Rangers, so let's all pipe down that this team is the greatest team since the 94 team because...
Well, they are.
Well, they probably are, but yes. But...
The season isn't over
season's
yet.
Season's not over.
I know that. Season I'm the first that. One to say that. And yeah. I, you know, genuflected before you, basically, and said this was, you know, when it comes to hockey, it's Devils. I understand that.
However, it will never be a Devil's town. Because the Devils.
Obviously, they're in New Jersey. Right. But when it comes to hockey, the Devils are, you know, in the tri-state area, they rule the roost. They've got 3. Rangers have 2. One was in 1940.
Well, the Rangers actually have 4.
Well, I'm talking about the...
In the...
Yes, the gap.
The gap, yes.
Okay, 1940 to 2012. Rangers have 2. Devils have 3. Okay.
You want to close the gap a little bit. Since 1941, they have 1.
Hopefully, Ranger fans, that changes this year. But I don't want to get off Giants, the topic at hand, which is the Giants.
Sorry.
And I want to go to Eli Manning. During the parade, Gary and I talked about this. And as far as the Peyton-Eli thing goes, I think you got to stop with that comparison. Because Peyton
Manning... 2 different
Manning,
quarterbacks.
Peyton Manning, the 13 years prior to coming to the Colts made the playoffs 2 times. And they never had a season where they won more than 9 games, okay? The 13 years since he started there, his 13 seasons under center, 11 times made the postseason, averaging 12 wins per year. The year he gets hurt and doesn't play, a 13-3 team becomes a 2-14 team. Peyton Manning has meant not only the world to the Indianapolis Colts, that franchise, but so much to the NFL. Bringing that franchise back out of the doldrums. I mean, you talk about Johnny Unitas and how they ruled the NFL back in the day. Alan Ameche running over the Giants in overtime in 1958. You know, that franchise was just, if in the New York area in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, you were guaranteed twice a year falling asleep with the Jets and Colts at 4 o'clock. 6-3 finals, 9-6 finals, awful football. Peyton Manning brought that franchise back, put the paddles on their chest, and brought them back. Okay, the Giants were never that bad as a franchise. Recently. I don't want my dad to knock me down for that one.
Yeah.
Because he lived through the Ali Sherman years.
Oh, in the 70s.
But Peyton Manning played for 13 years. Eli just graduated his 8th season. Okay? He's got 5 more years. He's got a lot more work to do. And I agree with Kurt Warner in that he's not a Hall of Famer yet. There's a couple reasons. They used to talk about Derek Jeter. You know, when he was 30, 31, 32. Is he a Hall of Famer yet? Well, you know, the guy's got to play. You know, he's not done yet. Eli, if he stays healthy, has at least another 6-7 years. Okay? He proved this year he could be that playmaker. He turned the corner. Made Cruz better, as you said. Makes everyone around him better. Ballard, Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham. These guys are stars because of who they have under center. I'm not taking anything away from their talent, but if they don't have Eli back there, it's not the same thing. Ask Santonio Holmes and Plexico Burris how their careers were last year. And that, you know, and I know Sanchez had a bad offensive line, and I know they're going to stick with him, and I know he's going to get another shot. But for you Jet fans to bring up Mark Sanchez in the same breath, sentence, anything of Eli Manning is nonsense. It's garbage. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer yet. I agree with Kurt Warner. If he continues to show, I don't even think he needs another Super Bowl win. If he does, he's automatic. I don't think he needs another Super Bowl win. All he needs to do is keep doing what he does with the Giants and making big plays and driving them down the field and getting wins to get into the postseason, get a couple more postseason wins, even if he doesn't get another Super Bowl. If he keeps up the consistency, because he has been inconsistent, Until this season.
But if he stays consistent,
I think, you know, he's an automatic into the Hall of Fame.
And look, you bring up the word consistency. I don't agree with you on that. I don't agree with Kurt Warner on that. And I'll tell you why I don't agree with Kurt Warner on that. And I don't agree with you on that. Yeah, he had the over 20 picks last year. 13 of them were because of drop balls. They were in and out of the hands of the receivers.
I know that. We talked about that.
He's thrown for over 4,000 yards the last 3 years. He's thrown for high 3,000 yards 3 years before that. This guy has played in 121 games since he came in 2004.
All I'm saying is I think it's a little premature to start talking about Hall of Fame when a guy has six years left.
The one consistent thing, and I'm not talking about the Hall of Fame, the one consistent thing about the New York Giants since 2004, has been the coaching of Tom Coughlin and the man under center. He's consistently been there for the Giants since 2004.
Like his brother, he hasn't missed a start.
Consistently. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the model of consistency. That's a guy, okay, his play hasn't always, you know, you've always, you know, once in a while said, man, that was a duck or that was not. First of all, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't throw ducks anymore.
No.
Secondly, we've seen this guy mature in front of our eyes because he's gotten that consistent play. And he's not a Hall of Famer because he hasn't retired yet. And I see what you guys are saying. He's got 6, 7, maybe 8 years left at this level. And if he continues to do this, he's already at 27,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Phil Sims threw for 33,000 yards. Mm-hmm. That's the Giants' all-timer.
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
And let me tell you, right now, Eli Manning, I don't care what anybody says, is the greatest quarterback in the history of this franchise. The greatest quarterback in the history of this franchise, right now. Right now.
Okay.
He puts up 3, 4, 5,000, you know, he could put up 5,000 yards, you just missed it. 3,000 to 4,000 yards every year. He's 25 to 30 touchdowns, 10 to 15 interceptions, close to 60% every year. I don't see why this guy eventually wouldn't be a Hall of Famer.
I think he's on that track. I do. I just, right now, if he retired, if his career was over,
if his career ended
it'd be
today,
a great argument.
If his career ended today, he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm just saying, if his career is not over.
No.
That's why I'm saying he's not a Hall of Famer.
Which is why I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But if something happened, a Kirby Puckett-like incident, God forbid, mm-hmm. happened to him, mm-hmm. I'm putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, the only two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback who isn't in the Hall of Fame is Jim Plunkett.
Right.
And
one
of his Super Bowl championships was pretty much Marcus Allen.
Right.
So
Two MVPs. Two Super Bowl MVPs. Let's go down that list. Terry Bradshaw. Joe Montana. Tom Brady. And Eli Manning.
That's elite company, and that's where I was going next. The guy is an elite quarterback. And I think that question that was posed to him earlier in the season was garbage because I don't see how. And here's how. This is my thought process because I've thought about it. I'm not just going to say that to say it and not have something to back it up. You're talking about a guy that's 31 years of age. Next, under his name, it says quarterback, New York Giants. He's already got a Super Bowl ring and a Super Bowl MVP. On a weekly basis, he's heard everything. He's seen everything in the paper. He can't do it. He's a lame duck, da-da-da, this and that and the other thing. He's not elite. He's not in the top 10 quarterbacks of the NFL. When's the last time anyone on the radio has played a professional sport in the city of New York? Do they know what it's like to be in that position, to have all that pressure, and not only to have all that pressure, but to win a championship?
To win a championship in this city.
In this city. Oh, by the way, memo to LeBron James. Eli Manning is bronzed forever in New York sports lore. He's got two. You've got none. Have fun in Miami, by the way. Sidebar.
The worst sports town in America.
Sidebar. Anyway, have fun playing with your friends. You want to have fun? Have fun without your championship.
In front of 10,000 people
a
night.
Exactly. They came out. More came out for your little pep rally where you said you were going to win 7 down there or 8 or whatever you said. But I digress. Back to Eli Manning and my thought process here about that elite question at the beginning of the season with Michael Kay. And I'll say, because whatever. What's Michael going to get upset because I said something about him? Highly doubtful. But anyway, I just don't see how he's supposed to answer that question when he hears everything and he sees everything about how he can't do it and this and that and the other thing. Competitors, even though everybody thinks Eli is aw shucks, think that guy doesn't want to win? You think that guy doesn't take things to heart? You think he doesn't sit with his brother Peyton and say, can you believe they asked me that? What kind of question is that? And then, you know, of course, Gary said he could have answered it. Well, that's for you guys to figure out. That's for you guys to decide. Yeah, he could have took that route. But what does that say? You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and complain that Eli Manning is aw shucks, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I want that in my quarterback. I want my quarterback to say, yes, damn it, I'm an elite quarterback. Yes. I am like Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I am like Tom Brady.
What more do I have to prove?
And then he went out this season, and not only did he say it, he backed it up.
And not only that, but the guy that they considered an elite quarterback over Eli Manning, one of the guys that was traded for him on trade day, is not as good as Eli Manning. Phillip Rivers is not as good as Eli Manning. That head case in San Diego...
It must be something in the water.
He could not handle New York. And let me tell you, if Ben Roethlisberger was drafted, he wouldn't be able to handle New York either.
Ryan Leaf? Drew Brees, he left. He was fine there.
I'm just saying that these guys, they want to talk about elite quarterbacks. Okay, let's talk about elite quarterbacks. Eli Manning is right in that mix. Guy's got two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl trophies, led last-second drives.
Let me go back to, did I think he was elite then? No. I think he grew up, and this was the year he grew up. I do. He had everything in the past. He had the MVP, you know, in 2008. He beat helped beat the 18-0 Patriots. That was gigantic for him and his career. Okay, but then he, you know, him and his team no shows in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, let's please.
I'm not putting that on, Eli.
But the 2008 playoffs, Chris. They were 10-1 that team.
I know.
Plaxico shoots himself.
I know.
And that team, it wasn't Eli's fault.
I'm not saying.
And
I'm
that year he was elite.
It was Eli's fault.
But that year he was elite. I'm sorry, but you look at the numbers of the last 3 years since that Super Bowl. You could see the confidence in this guy just get bigger and bigger and bigger. He's had a great run.
Do you know why I said what I said? Because this year, Joe, he did have Plaxico that year. And that's believe me when I tell you, my cousin, who was the quarterback at our high school, had a receiver who was 6'7" and was a man among boys, and all he had to do was throw the ball up. And sometimes that's all Eli had to do was throw the ball up and Plax would go get it. This year, what did he have? When they didn't bring Steve Smith back, when they didn't have a tight end, what was everybody, including you, saying? We don't have a tight end. We don't have a slot guy. What the hell are we going to do? Our cover corners down, this, that, the third. Everybody starts dropping like flies. And after eight games,
it looked bleak.
They're 6-2.
Yeah, it looked bleak.
You know why? And they could have been 7-1. If Victor Cruz doesn't tip that pass and it's not taken back by the Seahawks,
agreed.
That's a 7-1 start.
Agreed.
And why? Why were they 7-1?
Because of Eli Manning.
Because of Eli freaking Manning. The defense was hurt. The defense wasn't coming through. One person was. Number 10, all season.
And by the way,
all season.
Up in New England, don't give Eli the ball ever again when they're down by, you know, 7 points or less. Because the last three times he's played you, he's taken the ball right down the field
touchdowns.
And scored touchdowns. Ask Plaxico Barrett.
No, wait. Just remind me, what's Belichick famous for? It's on the tip of my tongue. Defense.
Yeah.
Here's the other point I want to make, too.
He's been, by the way, he's been outcoached by Tom now twice in Super Bowls.
Here's the other point, and you must have read my mind, because, listen, the only coach-quarterback combination to have four, Bradshaw and Noll.
Right.
Only one. Montana.
And Walsh had
and
three.
And Walsh have three. He has one with Seifert.
Right.
And then the one with Young and Seifert. That's their five. Brady and Belichick had three going into 2008. They still have three because of Coughlin and Eli.
Who now have two.
Who now have two. And both times they beat the dynasty that was. And, you know, if they did win those two, if they had five, that they'd be it. Nobody could touch them. Nobody. I'm not saying that this destroys their legacy. They're still great.
No, absolutely.
They are, you know, an elite combination. I'm not poo-pooing what they did at all. They you know, and let's go back to their wins. You want to talk about the Giants? Name me one New England Super Bowl victory that was by more than 3 points. They beat the Rams by three. They beat the Panthers by
three.
They beat the Eagles by
three.
Where's the domination there? Joe, would you say they were lucky any of those times?
I would say most of the times they were lucky.
And we wrap it up.
I will
nice
say this.
And clean from the beginning.
You want to talk about a dynasty that got lucky. You want to talk about a team that got lucky? Well, the Patriots and their fans should be thanking their lucky stars once again for the New York Jets, because without the New York Jets in 2001, they don't knock out Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady doesn't become their starting quarterback, who's meant so much to that franchise. So, you want to talk about luck? That guy was sitting on the bench. He was a sixth round pick, and that guy was going nowhere in that franchise. Drew Bledsoe was that franchise.
And
a lucky, I don't want to say that an injury is luck, but they are lucky that that injury happened, because now, three Super Bowls later, Tom Brady is the face of that franchise and a surefire Hall of Famer.
I was just trying to bring it full circle to what we started talking about at the beginning here. Okay? You can say what you want about the Giants 9-7 winning the Super Bowl. You could talk till you're blue in the face. Inside the front offices, at the Timex Center, at MetLife Stadium, there are four Vince Lombardi trophies. Say what you want.
By the
call
way,
your team the dream team, all you want.
I'll play this luck game all day, Chris. I'll play the luck.
Preach it. Keep going.
Are the 49ers not lucky that Joe Montana was throwing a ball out of the end zone before their first Super Bowl win and Dwight Clark just happened to be there? Were they not lucky? Were they not just a little lucky? Were the Washington Redskins not lucky twice that they played in a shortened season?
If Dede Lewis and Ed Too Tall Jones timed their jumps a little bit differently.
You want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s?
Immaculate couple of reception.
Couple of lucky Super Bowls there.
That's why they call it the Immaculate Reception, by the way.
Couple of lucky Super Bowls
there.
Because
they were dead as a doornail against
nobody talks about that. These other teams that had a little bit of luck on their side to win their Super Bowls, but Eagle fans have to bring it up because you know what? Maybe you've had no luck. And maybe that's a little karma because your fan base is a bunch of idiots.
And by the way, I have
a little karma.
I have a little bone to pick with Adam Schefter. I don't know where he's from. We all know ESPN tends to lean towards the New England sports franchises.
Right. Nespin?
When they dropped to 0-6 on the season, I remember this vividly last year. When they couldn't win a ball game to save their lives. Instead of leading SportsCenter with the 0-6 Red Sox, they led SportsCenter with the Yankees grounding into 6 double plays. I remember these things. So Adam Schefter, when you put on Facebook to kind of ease the pain of Patriots fans, he put every New England sports logo up in this picture, or he found this picture, and then put their titles since 2000. And he had like 10 sports teams in New York, including the Sabres, too, because they're in Buffalo, I guess. And there's a big zero next to them. Jets, da-da-da-da-da. Giants have two. Yankees have one. Knicks, of course, zip. Rangers, zip. Islanders, zip. You know, they're all in the zero category. Mets, nothing. But he said, here, New England, this should ease your pain. And I was like, really? Let's cut out this decade. Okay? Let's see how good the Boston area has done since maybe 1900. Can we put those pictures up, Adam? How about that? I'm forced now, and I wanted to do this before, but I'm forced to look up Adam Schefter, and I want to see where he's from, where he was born.
And I'll say this, the Yankees and the Red Sox have as many titles.
Born December 21st, 1966 in Valley Stream, New York.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
The Red Sox and the Yankees have as many world titles since 2000, by the way. Two. They have two?
Yeah.
So those are the big teams. And let's talk about...
And football, I think, is...
Let's talk... In football, it's 3-2.
But it's 2-0.
It's 2-0. 2-0. In the Super Bowls that mattered the most to these people... They see Eli Manning.
And you could talk about the Celtics
holding the trophy,
beating the Knicks last year until you're blue in the face, and I'll laugh in your face. That doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing.
Adam, just report on football. Let me know who's got a high ankle sprain on a Sunday, and just sit in your little office area with your books behind you and your wife's picture and a signed picture of Tony Kornheiser
it
behind
must,
you.
It must be.
Okay? Just... just looks studious in the studio.
It must be catchy once you get up there. It must be like a disease or something.
It's unbelievable.
Really? I mean, I'm surprised Linda Cohn has a job up there.
I know.
Outwardly rooting for her New York teams, and she's still... How long has she been on that network?
She's been there a long time.
God bless Linda Cohn. We love you. Keep it up there, especially with the blue shirts. We appreciate the excitement and everything that you bring to the table, and we're happy that you're, you know, New York centric and in basically enemy territory. So keep up the good work.
Giant fan too.
Yeah, huge. So
openly rooting.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I do too.
But anyway, let's make the transition since we brought up the World Series. Joe and I, it's coming up sooner than you think. We'll be there. You know, I'm gonna blink my eyes and we're gonna be at Steinbrenner Field in a couple of the seats doing this podcast from there. But we will be down in Tampa from March 2nd. Me from the 2nd to the 8th. Joe will be there a little bit longer. And we're going to be doing our normal thing. We're going to get as many players as humanly possible. We're going to try to get some stories put together as well. I wanted to ask you, too, and I'm just going to bring it up now, if you had any interest to go and see the Marist boys again, get a little footage of them in Gainesville. I could bring my uniform this time and be a little bit prepared.
Oh, boy.
Go through practice with the boys.
Oh, boy.
That would be a nice little story. Come on, my fantasy camp. I can't afford Yankee fantasy camp. Got to pay my mortgage.
Oh, boy. Yes, well, we will be there from March 2nd. I will be there to the 12th. Chris will be there to the 8th.
Yeah.
And we'll be covering every story that we could possibly be covering. Maybe even Yankees team sans A.J. Burnett, with all these reports coming out that Pittsburgh
Pirates,
and the Yankees might be involved in some talks here, especially that the Pirates lost out on Edwin Jackson after offering him more money to go and years to play in Pittsburgh.
And Oswalt.
They are just looking to salvage their offseason by getting a starting pitcher. And
you know what? Going to the National League, it might help him.
It might.
Especially without Prince and Albert Pujols.
A veteran presence in a young rotation might become a leader, and we might see a different A.J. Burnett.
Yeah, absolutely. It might work out on both sides. And, you know, I think when it comes to A.J., I know everybody thinks he's got a lot of things going on upstairs. What I think it comes down to is the fact, and it was like this for Messina, too, because when he started, I don't think he had the velocity that Burnett ever had.
No.
But
nor the devastating curveball.
But Messina knew when it was time to change his style.
Right.
I don't think Burnett mentally is there. And I could just be, you know, fly fishing here with David Robertson. But, I mean, I just think he doesn't have a 97, 98 mile an hour fastball anymore. He needs to locate. He needs to get ahead in the count, then use that curveball. And he also has to use the change more. They always work on it in spring training. It's always devastating, and then, you know, you hardly ever see it during the regular season.
It's funny because Messina had that one down year, and you could see he was really struggling, and then he just changed.
Figured it out.
He just figured it out.
It, you know, pitching coaches say it all the time. When you have all this power, when you first come up, it doesn't matter. You got to learn how to pitch. And it's not just learning how to pitch your first year. It's learning how to pitch every successive year after that, because you work on different things. You pick up a different pitch. But then as your velocity decreases, you have to start learning how to pitch differently. Then you're learning every year through your career.
And it's funny. You could actually see CC Sabathia from the time that he was, you know, came to the Yankees to now. He's actually changed a little bit. You know, his velocity isn't what it once.
It's not 89, 90.
No, but he's not going to have a hard time transitioning, because he is a good pitcher. He can pitch.
And his change is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
so,
I mean, if they move AJ, look, I wish nothing but good luck. If he gets traded or if he stays with the Yankees, I pull for Burnett. I do. I know a lot of fans out there like to have their say with him.
Poo-poo on him.
Yeah, but he's a professional athlete. I think he's a talented athlete. I just think he has to harness it. And it's not the first time I've said it. And I'll continue to say it. And if he stays at the Yankees, whether he stays here or he goes to the Pirates, Godspeed and
good
best
luck.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
And that's going to do it. So remember, Joe and I, March 2nd through the 8th in Tampa, covering the Yankees. And we will bring everything back to you. We'll do some stuff. Maybe we'll do some vlogs again, video blogs from the stadium, from our hotel. Maybe we'll go in the hot tub and we'll have Joe Auriemma's celebrity hot tub. Maybe we can find somebody.
James Brown celebrity hot tub.
It's James Brown's celebrity hot tub party, and now here he is, the Godfather of soul and hot tub man number one, James Brown. Sometimes I make me break out in a cold sweat. Don't go away, we'll be right back with more celebrity hot tub.
Maybe we'll get Dr. Joyce Brothers
to talk about the Yankees. Huh? Next week on James Brown Celebrity Hot Tub, Dr. Joyce Brothers. Still too hot.
Anyway, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. We enjoy bringing it to you as we always do. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, you could download it for free at iTunes. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next time.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.